Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in today. I hope you're having a good day. I hope you're having a good Labor Day, and maybe a lot of or Labor Day weekend, Labor Day week, just depending on when you hear the radio broadcast, but it is that week, and a lot of times people say, well, that's the official end of summer, and they'll have a cookout and have one more, roast some marshmallows or something like that. But whatever you do or have done, I hope you have a good day. But this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we want to take just a moment to invite you to come out and be with us. Our Sunday morning services begin at 10 a.m. with Sunday school for all ages, and then our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11. We're located just 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. The prelude to the Constitution, or the introduction to the Constitution, says, we the people, in order to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And I just like the ring of that, the blessings of liberty. As you get out and about this week, or this past weekend, this coming weekend, and maybe think about Labor Day, cookout, something along those lines, just remember, that's a blessing of liberty that you're able to do these things. Well, it is good to be here. I want to say hello to Noah. He's with us. And how's your day going?
Going well.
Got to work on Labor Day?
Nope, we're off today.
Good, good.
Yeah, I was glad to be off on Labor Day.
Yeah, that's good.
But we are glad to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we're going to get right into the broadcast, sort of picking up where we left off last week. We've been looking at the subject of civics, and civics part number 6, I believe this would be. Civics is this. It is the study of rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. And we've given many examples of why and how it's important that we know these things. We've already established that America is a constitutional republic. And a constitutional republic is a place where the officials are elected as representatives of the people. And they must govern according to existing constitutional law. And so that is a protection for the people, that when the president or the Supreme Court or the congressmen, the senators, all of them, they will take an oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution says that it is the supreme law of the land, and it is binding upon all the elected government leaders that you can think of, from the federal level on down to the local level. All military personnel take the same oath, or an oath very much like it, to uphold and defend the Constitution. Most of the services-related fields, such as highway patrol, police, sheriff, even fire departments, ambulance service. I don't know about the ambulance service, but they also take a oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. So the Constitution is very, very important. And so in a constitutional republic, the elected leaders, military personnel, they cannot just come along and say, you know, we think we're going to do something else. We're going to try this and we're going to do that. No, they have to govern according to existing constitutional law. Now, this lesson today that we're going to look at and think about, it would come under the heading in civics of how government works. And actually, I said a couple of weeks ago that I was going to deal with this, the elected leaders part. We have in America, a representative form of government. And in our representative form of government, within our government, there are three branches. Now, these branches are referred to as the legislative. That is Congress. That's the Senate, the House of Representatives, and the senators. And so they're divided in two parts. That's the legislative branch. Then there is the executive branch. The executive branch is the office of the president. Then there is the judicial branch, and that is the talking about the Supreme Court and other courts of the land. The United States, and when we say that, United States, there are 50 states, but we are all united. One of the things that unites us is our form of government. So not only is the federal government a constitutional republic, but all 50 states are also constitutional republics. The United States Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, says this: "The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or of the executive," when the legislature cannot be convened, "against domestic violence." And so, the United States, each of the different states, also has a republican form of government. So each state in the Union, all 50 states, have the same three branches of government. They have a legislative branch. That's where you have your state congressmen. That's where you have your state senators. They are our elected representatives. I know here in the state of North Carolina, Raleigh is the seat of government. And you will maybe even know your local congressman, the one that is over your district or elected out of your district. And so we might know these a little bit more than maybe those that go to Washington. But they are our representatives. And your state government has a legislative branch. Then your state government also has an executive branch. Now, our states do not have a president, but what they have is a governor. And that governor, he represents the executive branch. And then, of course, we have our judicial system. In all the different 50 states, we have a judicial system as well. Now, this is how the Constitution is laid out, and I want to encourage you today that you would obtain a copy of the Constitution, and there's no reason not to have one, or that you would go online and find the Constitution and just read it. It is not that complicated. Now, there are some things that are sort of gibberish to you, but you can get the gist of it. You ought to know what it says. You as an American citizen, I'll tell you, if you come to this country and apply to be a citizen, you have to take a class in civics. You have to become familiar with the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. You need to know how the government works. And so this is very, very important. And I would encourage you to obtain a copy and read the Constitution. But each state has this. Now, the Constitution of the United States, and I'll also say this, each state has a constitution as well, and then the republican form of government. But the Constitution is laid out in this order of legislative, executive, judicial. That's how it begins. Section 1, Section 2, Section 3, Section number, or Article 1, Article 2, Article 3, and then there's sections underneath that. But that's how the Constitution is laid out in that order. For example, Article 1, Section 1. This is how the Constitution begins. After the little section, "We the people of the United States," then it has Article 1, Section 1. And here's what it says: "All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. And so the Constitution, what does it do? It lays out how government works. And the first thing that it deals with is the legislative powers. And the legislative powers are split into two houses. You have the Senate and the House of Representatives. So that's talking about Congress, their duties, their responsibilities. And then that Article 1 deals with the Congress. It deals with the House of the Senate and the House of Representatives. Then Article number 2. And so if you read down through the Constitution, this is not very complicated. You can understand that when you get to Article 2, what it is talking about there. It's talking about the executive power. In Article 2, Section 1, and we're talking today about how government works. Article 2, Section 1 says this: the executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years, and together with the vice president, chosen for the same term, be elected as follows. And so it talks about the administrative branch, or the executive power. And it talks about how you elect a president and who can be the president and what the qualifications are to be the president. And then the third article, section number 1, deals with the judicial power. And it says in Article 3, Section 1, the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges, both of the Supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall at stated times receive for their services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. And so it goes on down and it talks about the judicial power. And so our government has three branches. And what is the purpose of these three branches of government? Well, they're sort of self-explanatory. The legislative legislates and has to do with the bills and laws of the country. And the executive executes, puts it into effect, signs bills into the law. You know, the Congress, they'll get together, and the House of Representatives, I don't have anyone in particular, but you know, they'll be working on something, they'll hash out a bill, and they'll all get together and they'll finally agree on it and get enough votes to pass it. Then they'll send it over to the Senate, and the Senate, what will they do? The Senate, they'll look over it. They may add to, they may take away. They may send it back to the House of Representatives. And after a long, drawn-out process, you know, the House of Representatives, they passed it. It goes to the Senate. They looked over it. They okayed it. They voted on it. They passed it. And then they send it up to the president. And what does the president do? He executes. He signs it into law. And so you see this whole process is a process of checks and balances. Well, somebody comes along and they say, you know what, that bill, there's a part of that law, it's unconstitutional, it's not right, it's against the law, and they may go back and forth, and it may go over to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is the final guardian of the Constitution. That's why the Supreme Court is very, very important. And who gets on the Supreme Court? They're not there to be progressive changers of society. They're there to be guardians of the United States Constitution, that they are to interpret these laws in the light of the constitutional. That's what makes a constitutional republic a constitutional republic. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. Each of these branches of government are a check and balance on the other, and they're all sort of looking over each other's shoulder. And they all ought to be jealous of their own power. That, for example, that the president cannot come along and declare war. That's not in the Constitution given to the president. It's given to Congress to be able to declare war. And the president is not allowed to proclaim what's the law of the land. That's the job of the Supreme Court. So they all have a certain niche, you might say, a certain realm that they have power and authority to operate in, and the others are keeping a check on them, and that keeps things balanced out. And it is actually a blessing that it's hard to get anything done in America. That keeps us sometimes from making major mistakes. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. And notice I've said that a couple of times, the way it's supposed to be versus the way that it is. I was watching a couple of weeks ago a program, 60 Minutes, and they were talking on that program about money laundering and how that it was easy, that in of all the countries in the world, I think that they said that it was easiest in America to launder money, you know, for somebody to have illegal money from another country and they bring it to the United States and they set up a phony company, a corporation, and they put the money in that company. It's not even a real company, but it was very complicated. You know, I didn't understand all of it, but I sort of got the gist of it. And one of those lawyers, they asked him, you know, and they had talked about how Congress had tried to do certain things to make it harder to launder money, hide money, and the president's office had tried to do something. And they asked that lawyer, they said, why has Congress failed to do this? Why are they not able to make the laws harder to do this illegal operation? And he candidly said this, why it's never been done. He said, because this country is run by lawyers. And that lawyers run the show. And he said, not all lawyers, but he said there's an elite few that run the country. And, you know, there might be something to that. Look at how many congressmen, senators, the judges on the Supreme Court and the other courts, and even Hillary Clinton, you know, she's a lawyer. And Bill, I guess, he was a lawyer. But, I mean, lawyers just about run the country. And that's why the Bible said, woe unto ye lawyers. Now, I'm just kidding about that, because those lawyers dealt in the law of God, and they were religious, not civil. But the Lord Jesus still said, woe unto you lawyers. But I'll tell you, the way it's supposed to be, if you ever study civics, you ever study our history, and you see the way it's supposed to be, and then you read the newspaper and listen to the news and what's really going on the way it is, it'll just about make you sick at your stomach, because we are far, far, far away from what we used to be and what we ought to be. Well, let me say some things about Congress. Congress is made up primarily of lawyers. Congress has 10 sections. If we're talking about the Constitution, Article 1 deals with the legislative. Article 2 deals with the executive. Article 3 deals with the judicial. Well, the first article that deals with the legislative, that deals with Congress, deals with the Senate, has 10 sections regarding their privileges, their purpose, their power in government, how they are elected. There's a lot more said about Congress than there is about the, for example, the section concerning the president only has 4 sections, or the article concerning the president. The Article 3 concerning the Supreme Court only has 3 sections. Now, let me tell you some things about Congress. Congress, this is one of the reasons why Congress is so important. Congress holds the power of the purse. And what I mean by that, Congress holds America's checkbook. What I mean by that, they have the power, they have the authority to spend the money or to not spend the money. Section number 8, and I'm just going to read a little bit from that. I just want to share with you, and I want you to understand the huge responsibility that Congress has to our country. Now, maybe you've heard it said, the one that holds the checkbook holds the power. I've heard that said about church. I've heard that said about businesses. I've heard that said about, you know, a civic club out here. Who writes the checks? I've heard that said about families. Who writes the check? Who has the money? That's who has the power. Well, Congress has the checkbook. Article 1, Section 8 says the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts, and provide for the common defense. Did you catch that? To pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. To borrow money on the credit of the United States. To regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. To establish a uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States, to coin money, regulate the value thereof in a foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measurements. And it goes on down and on down, and it talks about all the responsibilities that Congress has. But what an awesome responsibility. They have the responsibility to pay the bills. They have the responsibility to borrow money. They have the responsibility to pay the money back that has been borrowed. And so that's just an awesome responsibility when you stop to think about it. Now, if you consider, for example, today, your own personal finances, having a checkbook, having a banking account. I still remember as a young man, you know, having a job and going to the bank and getting my first banking account and checkbook. And we'd learned in school in business math how to record in your checkbook register, and you put your money down and you record your transaction, well, you know, where you've written a check. I bet a lot of young people today have never even written a check. Maybe don't even have a checkbook. You know, they swipe a card and they look at their statements online, I guess. But I was learned the old-fashioned way, I guess you'd say. And I had a checkbook with my first banking account. But having a banking account is not just about writing checks. It's not just about spending money. First, you've got to have it. You can't go out here and spend money that you do not have. You're going to get in trouble. Or if you go out here and borrow money and you know you're going to have a payment, you have to anticipate having that money by the time your payments are due. And you have to prove to a bank or a credit card company, that you have a job, that you have an income, and, you know, if you borrow this money or you use this credit line, that you're going to be able to pay it back. A lot of times they'll put a limit on a credit line or a banking account. Nobody I know just goes out and spends and buys and gives away money like there is an endless supply. I've never met a person that had so much money that they didn't have some concern about how and where it was being spent, except the United States government. And the United States government is absolutely out of control when it comes to spending money. And whose fault is it? It's the fault of Congress. This is the responsibility of Congress to pay the bills, to borrow the money, to pay the money back. And Congress has a responsibility. And if they do not do that, they're going to, I'm telling you, there's a price to pay. And it's going to be the price of our country. So Congress has a responsibility to spend. You know, it takes a lot of money to run a country. I pastor a church, and it's amazing to me how much it takes, you know, just from month to month to pay the light bill, to pay the insurances, and everything else that goes on. You know, there's a lot involved. I can't imagine if you had the responsibility of the whole country. But we have a responsibility to pay those bills, but we also must have a responsibility to conserve our nation, to conserve or save our money, or to not accrue such debts that debt is going to drag us under and eventually drown us. But that's exactly where we are in the United States of America. Maybe you've seen on a quarter or the back of a dollar, different places, the Great Seal. And the seal of the United States of America has an eagle on it. And that eagle, you know, it's got his wings spread out. And some people have said that the two wings of that eagle, some say, well, one side of that wing is the spending side. And, you know, the general welfare and, taking care of what it needs to be taken care of in our country. And so you might say that's the spending side. And then the other side of that wing is the conserving side or the saving side. And in order for that eagle to fly, there has to be a balance between the spending and the conserving. How long would an eagle be able to fly if one of its wings was two or three or four times the size that it should be, and the other wing on the other side was just a nub? I'm telling you, that eagle couldn't even get off the ground, and if it did, it couldn't fly long, and if it could fly long, it sure couldn't fly straight. It's lopsided. It's not balanced. In order for the eagle to fly, in order for our country to continue to operate, there must be a balance, and it is the responsibility of Congress to find that balance between the two, between the spending and the conserving. It's crazy, that's the word that comes to my mind, for anybody in this country to think, you know, well, we can just spend and print our money and just keep on going the way we're going. And, you know, the media is a whole lot to blame that our nation is so ignorant when it comes on up to what is really going on. You know, the media would have you in a frenzy concerning what Donald Trump had for breakfast. That Donald Trump had, you know, I seen one of those commercials that they said, you know, he had a company and they had ties and shirts, and the one is made in Bangladesh and the other was made in China or somewhere like that. You know, oh man, boy, we ought to get upset about that. We ought to be upset about Hillary, and we ought to be upset about all these things. No, we ought to be in a frenzy over being $19 trillion in debt and no vision in sight to pay it back. And boy, I tell you, I remember a few years ago when they was concerned. Some people were concerned about being $10 trillion and $11 trillion and $15 trillion, and we just keep upping and upping and spending and spending. And that's what we ought to be in a frenzy about. Politicians are promising all this stuff, all this free health care, free education, free this, free that. But who's going to pay for all of the freebies? Proverbs 22 and verse number 7 says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." You become a borrower, you become a servant, you become a slave. And they're not just giving freebies away, but our very country is being given away. And many times people are voting for that. You know, that's how Rome fell: free bread and free circuses for the people. And they gave away their very existence, their substance, and had no means to get it back. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Well, I appreciate you tuning in today. We see our time is quickly come and gone. We're going to let Noah come and give the contact information. We hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbca.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org. Thank you.